We are continuing along in the narrative lectionary. Last Sunday, we had one service, and we had the great joy and delight of receiving the gift from our youth as they presented their play musical to us, Rise Up. Something very important happened that Sunday in addition to the musical. If you read the passage for that Sunday from Acts 9, the Apostle Paul had his conversion experience. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we travel ahead to Acts 16 this morning and continue to learn about the Apostle Paul and his formation and the ways in which God challenges him and uses him to build the kingdom. And so I invite you to listen now for God's word to us from Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 16 and journey on through to verse 34. If you would like to read with me, this is on page 900 in the Pew Bible that's there in front of you. Again, beginning at verse 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At that same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us to this place. We thank you for this refuge, a place in which we can gather with others, find quiet, find peace, find strength to go on through another week. Another week in which you will give us many opportunities to think back to this time. So what is it that we'll remember from this service? What is it, oh God, that you would have us hear? Help us to call to you, to receive what we need today, to receive from your Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Time for transformation. I don't know about you, but time is a gift, right? Each and every day. We're all given the same amount of time. We struggle, speaking for myself, how to use that time most effectively, working, parenting, being a friend, being a daughter. The list of hats that we wear, it's pretty long. Because we live in a world where there's always more for us to do. Time for transformation. I think often we get stuck in that sense of how much time do we have, really? How much time do we have to accomplish all that we need to get done in the course of the 24 hours that are given to us? I think often we spend much of our time focused on exactly what does need to be done, rather than that second half of our title today, transformation. There are so many distractions, so many things in our life that keep us from transformation. It might be a heavy word for early on Sunday morning, transformation. Often we feel pressured into transformation. Someone tells us, perhaps a boss or a spouse or a friend or an enemy, you need to change. There needs to be a transformation in your life. I've told this story. I think it's a funny one. It's a great illustration of how sometimes change is forced upon us. Harry had bought a parrot because he was feeling kind of lonely. And so Harry brought this parrot home, and Harry was pretty upset because this parrot that he had brought in to be as a friend and a companion had this way of just using every bad word in the book and being rude to Harry. And Harry tried every way possible to transform, to change this parrot. He kept using very positive and kind and uplifting words, but it just didn't work. The parrot continued to be rude. And so one day when Harry couldn't take it anymore, he stuffed that parrot in the freezer. There was, as you can imagine, a lot of squawking and kicking and screaming, but suddenly all was quiet in Harry's kitchen. And then Harry started to feel somewhat panicked. And so he went over and he opened the freezer door, and the parrot stepped out and says, "I'm sorry that I offended you with my language and my actions, and I ask for your forgiveness." Harry was astounded at the bird's change in attitude, and he was about to ask him what changed him when the parrot continued, "By the way, can I ask a question? What did the chicken do exactly?" Change for us, it's hard. Transformation, it's something we think, oh, we're too old. I like who I am. I don't need to change. I don't need any transformation. In March, I had the opportunity to go to a conference actually about transformation, more specifically how to transform the souls of your leadership. Our elders and deacons are already shaken because they've heard a little bit about this. But the leader of the conference, Ruth Haley Barton, said the most important thing that any leader, any disciple needs to know is that transformation, it starts with you. It starts with you. We're quick, right, to look around us. If only my spouse could change. If only he could do this right, or if she could say the right words. And my kids, wow. Bedtime, potty training, curfews, college, wow. Sure are a lot of things they could do better. And the church, wow, where would I start? Does she know it's almost 10 o'clock? She better wrap up that sermon. We don't want to feel guilty or burdened. So we look around us and figure out whose fault could it be? Paul and Silas, they had a lot going on. In this passage, as I've looked over it and over it this week, there's so much that's happening. What's going on with this girl, right, who's telling fortunes? Paul can't take it anymore. She actually was a good billboard for him, drawing attention, but it wasn't the right kind of attention, and he shuts her down, calls out the Spirit. She's transformed. She's free. But what happens? They get thrown in jail. And Paul and Silas, rather than lament, they start to sing and to praise God, to look for strength to get through this night of wrongful imprisonment. And then we know the earthquake happens, the foundation shakes. They're free, but they don't leave, which we could go on and on about that. And the jailer is so struck by the devastation that he has not done the job right, that he's ready to take his life. But Paul says, wait, wait, we're still here. We're here. And the jailer is transformed. Not only the slave girl, not only Paul and Silas, not only the jailer, but the jailer's family. Transformation again and again. It happens, right, in a crisis for the parrot. But on a serious note, it happens to these people. They open up their lives to be transformed. Where it starts, brothers and sisters, is it starts with our own heart. This church, it can't be any stronger than it is today unless you look in the mirror. What part do I play? How is my soul? Am I taking that extra time and effort for transformation? That it's never too late. It's not just our confirmands next Sunday who are being transformed in Christ, but that there's an opportunity for all of us, no matter our age, no matter how much we think we know, there's always more. More for us. I don't know how many of you yesterday watched the service of celebration of Barbara Bush's life. Doesn't matter what your political persuasion might be. What struck me about all that was said about her was that she took her confirmation class at the age of 89. I don't know what was going on back in her teenage days when it, quote, should have happened. But at 89, she says to her pastor, I want to be confirmed. Talk about transformation. A woman whose life made a big difference, right? Not in just her family, but in the world. She humbled herself to say, I want to be confirmed. I want to be a member. What is it that stops us from taking the journey class? What is it that stops us from going across the hall to Sunday school? Is it time? Is it money? What is it? Ask yourself that. Struggle with it. Because in order for this church, as I said, to be even more alive and promising and full of hope, we got to look in our own hearts, our own souls, and be transformed. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this time and for the invitation that you have given to us to be transformed, to continue to change, to be even more convinced of our love and devotion and commitment to you today than we ever have before. We praise you and we love you. Amen.